This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm superstar Frank Morano. When I was a student, you know, I consider myself, when I was in grade school especially, and even in junior high school, certainly in high school, I considered myself to be pretty bright. You know, it's funny. The older I've gotten, the less intelligent I realize that I am. The more that I learn about the world, the more I realize how ignorant I was yesterday, a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And I just look back at this, you know, brash, young, whatever years old person and think, wow, how dumb was I? But the point is, at the time when I was in school, I thought I was very bright. And I still struggled academically. Why? One reason and only one reason. Homework. I did not do homework in any grade that I've been in. The amount of homework that I did was pretty close to zero. So, depending on the parameters of the class sometimes would let you make up the homeworks at the end of the marking period, sometimes with a late penalty or something along those lines. So my grade, sometimes I get very good grades. Because if the class didn't make a big portion of the grading equation homework, and it was mostly based on things like test scores and class participation and whatever, quizzes, knowledge of the subject matter, I would do very well. But if it was one of those classes that had 30% of your grade made up of homework, then that was a zero. I was getting it because I just didn't do it. I didn't have any interest in doing it. I wasn't motivated to do it. I hated to do it. I didn't like it at all. At all. Caused all sorts of turmoil and drama in our household because I was getting in trouble because I just didn't do it. I hated it. It struck me as not only boring but counterproductive. Well, when I was 11 years old, if I was around today anyway, if I was 11 years old today, I might consider moving to Poland because Poland has adopted new rules against homework. The children are loving it. The parents and the teachers are not so sure. Now, I don't want to overstate this the case. I recognize that sometimes homework can reinforce the lessons that you're learning in school and in class. But I'll be honest, I think a lot of the time, the homework that children get, it's really just busy work. And I don't think there's that much of an educational purpose being served by giving children all these homework, especially in a lot of instances that I've seen. And on the couple of times that I did homework in high school, I would have hours worth of homework. And it just struck me as a giant waste of time. So now, the government of Prime Minister Donald Tusk in Poland has enacted the homework ban against required homework this month amidst a broad discussion about the need to modernize Poland's education system. And critics are saying this puts too much emphasis on rote learning, meaning the critics of the system the way it is now. They say it puts too much emphasis on rote learning and homework and not enough on critical thinking and creativity. So under this decree, teachers are no longer to give required homework to kids in the first to third grades. In grades 4 to 8, homework is now optional and doesn't count towards a grade. Oh, my goodness. What I would not have given for that as a seventh grader. My goodness. Not everyone likes this. The Associated Press profiles a child named Ola Kozak, who is just tickled pink about this, who is just thrilled to death about this. But Ola's parents are divided. Her father said, if there's something that will make students enjoy school more, then it will probably be good for both the students and for the school. Absolutely. I completely agree. His wife, Magda, is very skeptical. Quote, I am not pleased because homework is a way to consolidate what was learned. It helps stay on top of what the child has really learned and what's going on at school. You know what it is? I see exactly what she means, and I know that that's the intent of homework. I don't think that's how it's used. I think homework is used as a way to keep kids busy, as another factor in grading for children, and just because it's always been done. I would love to, first of all, I'm going to be watching this very closely and see how this works out in Poland, how the children feel about it, how the parents feel about it, how the teachers feel about it. And if the Polish children get any dumber, forget about it. They can rewrite all those jokes and make them even easier. But in all seriousness, I think that if we see that the Polish children start doing better in school, that they're more productive, that they're more physically fit, that they feel better about themselves, that they're not dealing with issues like anxiety and depression and turning to things like substance abuse. I'm not sure how much of a problem that is for young people in Poland anyway, but I think it's a big problem for young people in the United States. If we see that both academically and non-academically, Polish children improve in measurable ways, I think this ought to be adopted in different jurisdictions in the U.S. I remember there was a city council member. He's a good friend of mine. He's a judge now, is by the name of Peter Vallone Jr., who proposed this in New York City, and he was laughed at. He was a punchline on late night comedy shows and on morning radio shows. He was way ahead of his time because he was proposing this 20 years ago. And this is, I've thought about this a great deal, given my own experience, never having been a teacher, but given my own experience as a parent, as a taxpayer, as somebody that studied the education system and wants to improve the education system, as someone that looks at the state of the American education system and pulls my hair out, shakes my head, and buries my face in my hands, something's got to change. I don't think the way to improve the American education system is more homework or continue doing what we're doing. I think the homework situation, the way it is now, it creates an enormous amount of stress, not just for parents, but for children. And I think it takes away valuable time that children could be enjoying things like free play and playing outside. Just the other day, my son Carmine, he's only two, but he went to ring the doorbell of some of the boys that live in the neighborhood. One is six, one is, I think, four. And they couldn't come outside because they were doing homework. And I thought to myself, on such a beautiful day, when the kids would otherwise be running around, burning off excess energy, getting some exercise, getting some fresh air, getting some vitamin D, and they're inside doing this horrible homework, which is just so rote and monotonous. Is that really the best thing for this child's well-being? I don't think so. I think Poland is onto something here. Other countries have looked at this. Other cities have looked at this. I am curious what you think. Now, look, maybe this will be a disaster in Poland. Maybe they'll have to write a whole bunch of new Polish jokes just because of this. I'm eager to see how this works out. But if it works out well there, I think we should try it here. What do you think? 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. That's the question. Is it time to ban homework?
A question. Since before your sun burned hot in space and before your race was born, I have awaited a question.
You know, maybe I should have done more homework and I would have been a brighter student because I named this week's listener of the week, Donna Masterson, and I got an SMS text message here from another listener saying, wasn't Donna named the listener of the week on February 7th? And I went back and looked at my records, and she was. She was named the listener of the week. So that was my error. But I'm not taking it back. Donna is still the listener of the week. She earned it. And congratulations, Donna. You're now a 2-time listener of the week. And I wondered, because whenever I start working on the listener of the week, you know, really right after, you know, right after the weekend, and I start making notes given what all the listeners are contributing on the air and who's subscribing and who's calling in and who's doing things about, who should be the listener of the week. And I was making notes of all the potential people, all the potential candidates for the listener of the week. And I'm wondering, why is Donna not on it? Has Donna ever been listener of the week? So you know what I did? I did a control F where you can search a whole document. I said, let me search this document quickly. Let me see if Donna's ever been named. So I search for Donna Lee Masterson. Nothing comes up. I said, huh, I don't know how that's possible, but Donna's never been listener of the week. And then now I'm looking at the date that this other listener mentioned. I had her listed just as Donna Masterson. I didn't have her listed as Donna Lee Masterson. So that's why it didn't come up when I searched the document. But we know, just like if you win the lottery because they forget to change the balls and it's the same numbers for the afternoon drawing and the evening drawing, you still win. So, Donna, congratulations. You're still the listener of the week. For the other folks that were candidates this week that didn't get selected, I'm sorry. Better luck next week, right? As we Met fans are used to saying, maybe better luck next year, better luck next week. We'll see. 800-848-9222 if you want to weigh in on homework. If you want to write to me via email, you can do so, frank.morano@redappleaudionetworks.com. We're going to read some of the email correspondence a bit later, but I wanted to go over this with you as well, as, you know, in line with education and things of that nature. I think we all recognize that children should use computers in school, right? I don't think there's anybody that says no, that they should still be using stone tablets and an abacus. No. But I think we all realize we don't want children to go into their computer in school and be able to download internet pornography or any kind of obscene content. So in order to prevent students from doing that, there are filters. There are obscenity filters on the computers in schools. Well, now there was an interesting article in USA Today about students describing how these school web filters jeopardize learning and safety. So these internet filters on school computers, I had no idea about this. They're stopping more than just porn. And there's a common complaint among high school students across the country, and it has nothing to do with curfews or allowances. Internet filters are preventing them from doing online research at school. Records obtained by The Markup, which is the education section of USA Today, from districts across the country show just how broadly schools block content, forcing students to jump through hoops to complete assignments, and even keeping them from resources that could support their health and safety. School districts must block obscene or harmful images to qualify for federally subsidized internet access under an act passed by Congress 25 years ago. But the records from 16 districts across 11 states show they go much further. Schools are limiting not only what images students can see, but what words they can read. Some of the censorship inhibits students' ability to do basic research on sites like Wikipedia and Quora. Students have also been blocked from visiting websites that web filtering software categorizes as education, news, or informational. But even more concerning for some students are blocks against sex education and even resources for LGBTQ teens, including suicide prevention. You know, I think this is probably going a little far here. Obviously, blocking pornography is one thing. Blocking information that somebody might be looking for, which is going to prevent their suicide, that's another. Let me know what you think on both. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. William is in Manhattan. Hi, William.
Good morning, Frank. I just wanted to say homework, as a comedian, homework was very irritating, let alone my classmates. It was like a bed bug. But I've learned, I became better at what I do by listening. That's why teachers give out homework, to see if you are paying attention in class. That's all I have to say. Good morning. Have a wonderful one. I love y'all.
Thank you, William. You know, I violated my own rule here of ladies first. Let me get to the ladies that are holding. 800-848-9222. Let me begin with Pamela in New Jersey. Hi, Pamela.
Good morning.
Morning.
As a teacher, I used to like to shake it up and use variety. Sometimes if it was a beautiful day, or if it was snowing at the end of the day, I would tell them to go outside and play for an hour. And then when they would come into class, describe what you did. Or help who's ever preparing dinner use a measuring cup.
I love that. See, that's creative. That's really nice.
Oh, thank you. And, I used to give, written, there's spelling words, it does help, with cursive we discussed before, to copy the words a couple times, and then math, a few examples, more or less to tell the parents what went on in the classroom. And, you have to shake it up a little bit. You just don't want to give them busy work just to, bore them to death and, give them a variety of stuff.
Would you agree with me that, not in your case and the examples you just gave, but in the instances of the typical homework assignment, that a lot of it is just busy work?
Oh, yeah. I remember as a student, and I love books. We've discussed that.
Sure.
I love reading.
Same.
But I think it was like they were trying to kill that desire in us, because they would send us home, and read, 5,000 pages. And it was just done the wrong way. It was just, I remember, shout out to Mrs. Morantz, my high school English teacher. She made Shakespeare so exciting. We did the reading in class with one another, and we responded to it. And there was rarely any homework, because we did it within the classroom. But we wanted to do it on the outside, because she made such a joy out of it. And
yeah.
I took those examples in life and what I hated about homework, and I changed it up a little bit. And my parents loved it. They loved the homework book. It kept them, organized, and they knew what to do. And it didn't take all night. They weren't there pounding, And I told them, if they have too much trouble, stop, explain it to me, and I'll go over it the next day.
Pamela, I like that. I like that a lot. So what do you think of this idea, which they're implementing in Poland, to ban mandatory homework?
I think at the lower ages, that's good. Kids need imaginative play. I know when I was a kid, we were always playing in the sand, playing with Tonka trucks,
right,
playing with, imaginative games. I tell you, I just made this comment to people. I said, my God, it was beautiful this week, and I saw no children outside, no one playing with a ball, no one. Where are they?
Yeah.
Where are the children?
Well, first of all, my son and I were outside, but in the case of a lot of the children on our block, I mean, some of them also now are starting different practices, football practice and different other practices, but a lot of them are stuck inside doing this homework, which I think is total busy work on these beautiful days. Pamela, thank you. 800-848-9222. Marianne is in New Jersey. Hi, Pam. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I think that a lot of the things, I'm an older person and I'm also an educator. A lot of the things that we did young actually develop the skills that we need when we're older. And doing one of the greatest skills that we can develop is doing what we really don't want to do. And who makes ourselves do that? Ourselves. Homework is one of the key reasons you pass college. You have to be able to stay on task, to make yourself do what you don't want to do, and plenty of it. So I really believe we shouldn't change too many things, that we ourselves were very successful. It made us successful as older individuals. And I think homework should be mandatory.
All right. Well, I mean, you make a very good point, Marianne. Is there anything that could be done so that it's not so tedious and so onerous and so burdensome, so that you don't have children doing 3-4 hours of homework some nights and missing out on the opportunity to play outside on a beautiful day.
Well, we did do all of that. But the truth is we did it older. Now school starts at a young, young age. I'm 66 years old. We really didn't start that type of homework until first grade. So yes, I think young kids. The other thing I just wanted to say, believe it or not, young kids in preschool actually learn how to read, and they get many of the skills that they need. That kindergarten has become a mandatory grade that you have to actually be reading, and you have to know all of the things you had to know in the first grade.
Well, go ahead.
I think one of the things I now on child study teams, so I actually help kids who are struggling. I think one of the things you can do is find ways to do some of your work in the time frames that you have nothing to do. One of the things I tell kids to do when they're struggling with spelling, because that's such a tedious thing to write it 5 times to do. I believe in the old-fashioned way. But they could take a clipboard, put a piece of paper on it with a list of words, and watch TV. And during the commercials, when you're just sitting there anyway, you could look at your words.
Well, I think that's very creative, Mary, and I think that's great.
Yeah, and you can do that throughout your night. You know, when you're eating dinner, say, Mom, can I look up my words while I'm eating?
I think that's a great strategy, Marianne. Thank you. My concern really, though, is I don't see a lot of hours where these children have nothing to do. Again, my son is young, but I pay attention to my friends' children and other children in the neighborhood. And their schedules are packed. And it's not just packed for them. Packed for the parents. You know, my son has got this Earth Day project, which is supposed to be something that he does the bulk of the work on. My wife said to me yesterday or the day before, she says, I don't have time to do this week. Sorry, I'm just not doing it. If it's something that you want to do, then go for it. But otherwise, I'm not going to do it. What are they going to do? Fail them? So I have a pretty busy day today as well. I have, and this is a day that I'm slated to cook dinner because I've missed the last couple of weeks because of different circumstances. So I don't know that I'll have a chance to work on this Earth Day project for him. So this could be my son's first missed homework assignment because I think it's due on Friday, and tomorrow afternoon and evening I appear to be tied up. So I don't know. Look, even if you think there's some value to homework, which the points of all the callers, I think they make a good case. Isn't it just too much? Can't we give these kids a little bit of a break? Is there any educational purpose served by having them do this tedium for hours? I don't think so. Tell me what you think. 800-848-9222. Donna, what do you think about all this?
I agree. I think children need to do homework. I have 3 children, late 20s, early 30s. Excuse me, my voice is going.
Sure.
Excuse me. But it was a bonding experience. I was very strict with homework. We played, we got out of school. I'm talking about the lower grades. Got out of school, played in the park, came home, wash your hands, snack, and we did homework. It was, and I had the 3 children around the table, and I would help them. It was really a bonding experience. I enjoyed doing it. And I felt that it reinforces what they learned in school, especially the math. My children struggled with math. And also, we used to do book reports. When they were in first grade, my kids had book reports. We would both read the book. And he would write the report, and I would sit there and oversee him doing homework. But I was a stay-at-home mother.
Yeah.
So it's different nowadays.
Yeah, I understand that, Donna, the value of a book report and also the bonding experience between you and your child. Did you ever get to the point as a parent where you thought that it was just too much? Did you ever get to a point where you said, I can't believe they're assigning my child this amount of work for his age?
Yes. My daughter was in 5th grade. I went up to the teacher. It was 4 hours of solid homework.
Oh.
And I would approach her. And like I said, I want homework.
Sure.
And she didn't realize how much homework she was doing. And I complained, and then other parents were complaining, and she lowered the homework. But I had the opposite effect when my son was in fifth grade. He had 15 minutes done. And I complained to the teacher, but he says, you know, cited statistics, you don't need a lot of homework. And so it's got to be a balance, not too much. I don't want like 4 hours, but at least an hour. And Frank, we Fridays, we did homework. I was not spending the weekend. Well, Sunday night, you...
So did I, and I hated it. I hated it. It was terrible.
I guess, my children, I guess, I don't know. They did it. I don't know. I guess I made it fun, maybe. I don't know.
Well, hey, Donna, if Carmine needs help, you know where we live. We may have to have you come over and help him with his
Anytime.
Homework. Thank you. Thank
Anytime.
You, Donna.
Take care.
I appreciate that. What was I going to say? You know, that's the thing. Is I think there are so many different aspects to being a well-rounded person, especially a well-rounded young person. And I think building relationships with other children is part of that. I think being physically fit and participating in things like sports is part of that. I think just getting outside and getting a little sunshine and fresh air, I think that's part of it. I just think what we're seeing, and I see this getting worse. You know, it's one of those things. I was explaining to some friends the other day, and I've done this on the radio. I don't understand how cities like San Francisco and other cities can have the cost of living go nothing but up, and yet the level of crime is also going up. The level of filth is also going up. The level of homelessness is going up. You would think, because I remember I grew up at a time in New York where things were not so great. There were over 2,200 murders a year. And you, in those days, you know what the nice thing about living in a city with 2,200 murders was? You could afford to live here. And then as murder rates went down, as crime went down, it became a more expensive city to live in. And it makes sense, right? And as a city improves, costs more to live there. And what we're seeing in all these other cities is the opposite. It's sort of an inverse situation where the situation in those cities is getting worse, and yet so is the cost of living, which is totally upside down. I see the same thing with young people and homework these days. We're seeing a situation, and I want to put this as politely as I can. I have never seen children as dumb as they are now. We are living in a country where, at least compared to their counterparts around the rest of the globe, American children are getting dumber. They don't know anything. And I'm not just saying they don't know math and science and engineering. They don't know civics. They don't know history. And it's now producing generation after generation of what I will can call both uninformed and dumb adults. And yet, even though, I mean, and by the way, on top of that, we're seeing them also be obese and have problems with anxiety, stress, and depression. So, as far as I can tell, we have the worst of all worlds. We have children getting dumber while they're getting fatter. We have children doing more homework while they don't know anything. We have children more stressed out and more anxious while they're stupid, fat, and tied up doing homework all day. To me, something has got to change. And I applaud Poland for at least being a laboratory of educational possibilities. Let's see how it works out. That's all I'm saying. A lot in this country, we love pilot programs for this, pilot programs for that. Poland is essentially serving as our pilot program. I recognize things are a little bit different in Poland, but let's see how it works out. 800-848-9222. Let's check in with Noam Layden in a moment, and we'll do just that straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is the Jay Giles Band doing Freeze Frame. The best instance I've ever seen of them doing this song was on the Joe Franklin program, which, if memory serves, ended with them being covered in Martin paint. It was one of the most iconic moments in local television in history. And that's what I always think of when I hear the Jay Giles Band, particularly this song. Meantime, someone that has been a longtime fan and admirer of the Jay Giles Band has walked into the studio.
Stand by for the Other Side of Midnight's news.
Yeah, lo and behold, he's actually wearing a Jay Giles Band sweatshirt right now.
New York City. The Other Side of Midnight and its affiliated stations present national and international news with Frank Morano and news director Noam Layden. Their summary of the world news and personal comments. Get the rest of the story.
Hello, Noam.
You know, you introduced me to Joe Franklin. I'm sure you don't remember this, but it was at some event at WABC Radio here in New York, and he showed up, and you made sure to bring him over and introduce him to me, and it was thrilling. Because I was such a fan and got to spend like 10 minutes at this party chatting with him. And, you know, of course, he was endlessly fascinating.
No doubt. Yeah. He's terrific. Absolutely terrific.
Have you ever had a premonition about something bad happening to you? And then you did something about it. So in other words, you felt like something bad was going to happen to you. So you avoided what potentially could be a situation where that thing in your head would play out. Can anything come to mind?
No, I'm sure something like that has happened, but no, I don't think it has.
So Jessica Daly, she is a toll worker on the Garden State Parkway, which is a toll road in New Jersey. She wakes up last Friday in the middle of the night. It's about 2 a.m. She has this premonition that if she goes to work at her toll booth on the Garden State Parkway in New Jersey, something awful is going to happen to her. So this is one of these people who never misses a day of work. I mean, she really cares about the job that she does. She doesn't want to disappoint her employer. But she says the premonition is so loud within her brain, so bright, the story so catastrophic. She doesn't know what it's going to be. But she says there's a message in my brain and I am going to follow it. So she quickly goes online. She types an email to her boss. She says, I am not going to show up to work today. And here's what she said.
Like 2 a.m. I had just like a really like bad gut feeling that something was going to happen, like something terrible was going to happen if I drove to work. And it was so strong that I actually called out, and I literally never call out of work.
Then she had a second warning. So she falls back to sleep. Then she has a second warning at 4 a.m. It wakes her up again. And she says, okay, thank God that I sent this email to work. I'm not going to go. And then wouldn't you know it, about 5 hours later at her toll booth down close to the Jersey Shore on the Garden State Parkway, a truck runs into the exact booth that she sits in.
Wow.
And badly injures the toll booth worker who's sitting there, badly injures the truck driver. And she says, oh, my God. And here was her response, because, of course, her workers quickly told her. She didn't tell them why she was calling out.
Exactly.
But you know how word gets around at work. And it gets back to her by mid-afternoon.
My immediate response, honestly, I dropped to my knees and just started praying. And I was praying for everybody involved and thanking God that I had that feeling to call out.
I think her gut instinct was an angel or a premonition from a guardian angel telling her not to go in to protect her.
That's her mom. So her mom, of course, ecstatic that she wasn't there. Now, some people, upon hearing this story, say, well, if you had this premonition that something bad was going to happen, why didn't you warn the worker who was going to sit in that toll booth? But she said, I didn't know where. She thought
exactly.
Maybe it was on the
right,
way to work.
Exactly.
So it happened.
Could have been anything.
Anyway, thankfully, the worker and the truck driver are going to be okay. But they were badly injured in the accident. But wow, how weird is that?
That is crazy. I've heard a lot of instances of that happening with people. I think we've even done segments on the air where people have shared things like that have occurred with them. I can honestly say I don't think anything like that has ever occurred with me.
I don't know that I'd follow through on it. I might think it because, you always have bad thoughts in your head, right, mm-hmm. that come up and you just sort of let them go away. But she said that one was just so strong and clearly she was right. I have never done a story on this before. So this was as surprising to me as it may be surprising to you. Did you know that rat pee has become a huge health problem in cities across the nation? I had never thought about this before. I'd never thought about rats peeing, for that matter. But it's bad enough that they're around. You know what a nuisance they are. They carry all kinds of disease. But now we're getting all these cases that have popped up here in New York and a couple other cities as well, of a disease that is called, I want to get the name right, it is called isparosis. And it is a rat pee is left behind, and then sometimes a dog or if you're walking the dog can then bring it back to you, and then you can catch it. And the thing is that you can get pretty sick. You'll have breathing problems. You may have something that feels like a cold. And if it's not treated like very quickly, it can be deadly. It also can be deadly to dogs. Now, they haven't seen this in a long time, so they're not sure why all of a sudden it's back. There is a thought sometimes that maybe trash stays out too long on city streets, and so then rats walk around it, and then you walk your dog looks around the trash, brings it back to you. But they say you need to watch out for this, and if you see somebody in your family getting some sort of thing that feels like it's just a terrible head cold that won't go away or last for a couple of days, they say you shouldn't hesitate, because there's lots of drugs that can take care of this and knock it out pretty quickly, and go to the doctor and do it. But there are 12 cases in New York, which doesn't seem like an incredibly high number, but it is. They have not seen numbers like this in a long time.
I think it is high. Wow. That's terrible.
In fact, there were 98 cases in Chicago. It goes on and on, but there's a number of cities where they're saying this. Okay. Did you watch Gilligan's Island as a kid?
Of course.
They can never get off the island.
Right.
I mean, no matter how hard they tried, they did everything and it just never worked. They even had people visit them on the island and wouldn't take them out. They'd leave the island and not get them off the island.
Incredible.
It was. I never understood that.
Especially with the professor's ability to invent things.
Or you had Marianne and Ginger. You'd think somebody wouldn't want to get one of those two off the island.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was a lack of desire on the part of visitors to get them off. That was just always something that went wrong.
Yeah, well, it was always Gilligan's fault.
Well, not always. It was always, but yeah, often.
I mean, I never understood why they just didn't take out Gilligan, and they probably would have been able to get off the island.
Gilligan.
Well, he did. He always screwed it up somehow. Yeah. That's why it was called Gilligan's Island. So three men in their 40s, they go on a trip on this 20-foot skiff on Easter Sunday. And this is in Polawat, which is in Micronesia, which is this series of about
real places only, please. That's not a real place.
It is. No, it's this beautiful spot. 2,000 small islands, northwestern Pacific Ocean. Beautiful spot. So these guys go out on Easter Sunday for a trip. I mean, they're not just going for a couple for like a day. They're going for a couple days to visit a couple islands. Well, 9 days in, one of the nieces of one of these guys realizes, I haven't seen these guys in a while. I can't get in touch with them. She reports it to authorities. They say, oh, no, something must be going on. They start this massive search by plane, by boat, that goes over 100 nautical miles. Coast Guard rescues involved. The Japan Navy's involved. Coast Guard in Micronesia, who knew they had one, they're involved as well, searching over the islands. They cannot find this guy. These guys for a couple days. Then finally, they're doing like sort of essentially one last flyover to see if they can find them. And the pilot spots down below that on the sand of one of these islands is spelled out in palm leaves, "Help us." And he realizes that's clearly these three individuals. He reports it back to, you know, the people in charge of the search. They then fly another plane over because they have to figure out a way to even get to these guys and get them off the island. They drop food and a communication device to them to make sure they're okay. I mean, the amazing part was they are. I don't know if they were living off coconuts like they did on Gilligan's Island, but they were able to find food. And now, just in the last couple days, they've been able to get them off this very remote island.
I'm glad they were rescued. How long were they there?
They were there for all, I think it was 9 days in all.
Okay, I mean, 9 days is not that much, no. Right? But I saw that help sign. It was great that it worked and people saw it. I had seen, or I'd read somewhere, that this particular island or this particular area, the same thing had happened with other people, that they had got lost on this island, and I think they were able to use, I don't know if it was a help sign, but something to flag down help before.
Yeah, well, and the Coast Guard actually saying, you know, this is a great way, it's a good lesson for people to see if you ever have that same sort of thing, because they do. These guys who are spotters, who essentially look for any sign of life, they do look for messages from down below, and so other people have done this before and it's worked. So for some reason, if you find yourself on a remote island, the best thing to do is don't spell it out in the sand. Use, some sort of branches or trees that can be seen from high above and spell out, help me. And they did.
That is a good lesson. I think the other lesson that people might take from this is don't go to deserted islands, right?
In Micronesia, especially.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's like going to Lilliput, right? It sounds like a place that Gulliver would have gone.
Right. You know, the Caribbean, that's far enough away.
Exactly. Yeah. Micronesia. Everyone there is so small. I mean, right. You'd be towering over everybody.
You would, yeah.
Thank you, Noam.
And now you know the rest of the story.
All right. 800-848-9222. We're going to do 15 seconds of fame in just a bit. We do have a decent amount of mail, so I don't want to force us to go through it in 5 minutes. So I will hold this again till tomorrow. We should have fewer guests tomorrow. Let me see who's slated to be on the program tomorrow. We're going to check in. We're scheduled to talk to Judge Napolitano tomorrow, who I'm very much looking forward to getting his take at the Supreme Court arguments over this obstruction law challenge regarding Sarbanes-Oxley in January 6th. I've talked about this before, and I'll tell you who I was very impressed with yesterday. And look, they're all very intelligent people. But just the line of questioning from Justice Gorsuch yesterday, I thought he really nailed this issue as in terms of why Sarbanes-Oxley really doesn't apply to these January 6th protesters or any nonviolent protesters. And he made the point, well, okay, if you're going to apply this to the January 6th protesters and the January 6th protesters are just disrupting a pro forma hearing, not a judicial proceeding, could you also charge somebody that heckles during the State of the Union under Sarbanes-Oxley? What about someone that pulls a fire alarm to delay a congressional vote? And then he gives all these other examples. And I thought that the Solicitor General had a very poor answer to Justice Gorsuch on this. So I'm going to get into this with Judge Andrew Napolitano tomorrow because he knows this kind of thing. And Brian Kilmeade is going to join us as well. And you know what I haven't talked about in 2 days? I don't mean to laugh because it's a serious thing. The mayor of Atlantic City has been arrested, and his wife, who's the superintendent of schools. How many mayors of Atlantic City do you think have been arrested since 1982? How many? Tony, any idea how many mayors since 1982 have been arrested?
Probably three.
Three. Good guess. It sounds like a lot. Five! Five mayors in 42 years. How is that possible in a city that's 48 blocks? It's crazy over there. Crazy over there. And the sad thing is, this is an improvement for a lot of people because he wasn't arrested for anything having to do with public corruption. He was just arrested for beating his daughter. Jeez. Crazy out there, man. So we're going to get into that tomorrow as well. And we may talk to Lee Fong. Got a lot of stuff that we're going to do, but we'll definitely get to your mail tomorrow. Give me a call. You'll have 15 seconds to say whatever you like. 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight.
Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
And the Regressionists singing The Other Side of Midnight. Hey, I want to wish a happy birthday to Andrea Katsimatidis, the daughter of our owner, John Katsimatidis, and someone who is the chairperson of the Manhattan Republican Party in her own right. And she's done some great things and some interesting things there. Also want to wish a happy birthday to Justin Buddy Love, a former producer here, who is on to other things in media and in life, and was always just a great guy, was Curtis's producer for some time. Today's his birthday. So hopefully Andrea and Buddy Love, whether they're celebrating together or separately, hopefully they're both doing something fun and all their wishes come true. Meantime, if you've ever wished to be heard for 15 seconds, today is your lucky day. Give me a call, 800-848-9222.
The Other Side of Midnight. This is 15 Seconds of Fame.
Fame! E. Frank.
Yes, Frank. Curtis used to pat me on the head before he started his patrol years ago. And I would just like to say, when I met him last year in my local police community council meeting and he came to visit us, politics is politics and the law is the law. I don't believe in O.J. Simpson and any type of jury tampering.
Neil.
You know, Frank, years ago, there was a chicken in Chinatown that used to play tic-tac-toe against. The chicken always won. If he wins too much, he would grind up to be chicken fricassee if he moved over here.
Steve.
She's a moron and a jerk-off.
Raji.
Noam, Layden, sometimes you're speaking before you're thinking. You just said regarding the premonition incident, they're going to be okay, but they're badly injured. Ha, ha, ha. Can you believe that? No.
Roy.
Frank, love your show. I just want to say you are American top 40. We should all stop the steal. You're definitely top 40 in the top 100.
Mike.
Morning, Frank. If 50 octopuses or occupy are your problem, here is a solution. Get a case of breadcrumbs, Italian flavored, of course, and a gallon of cooking oil. Invite the neighborhood over. Dinner served. Manja. Problem solved.
Jay.
Frank, you got to try the Cliff Notes version of those boring bedtime stories and songs.
Michael.
Hey, Frank. If you like living a more philosophical life, tune in. The Stoic Secure Fellowship on YouTube. Like, comment, and subscribe. Be more stoic. The Stoic Secure Fellowship, YouTube. Like, comment, and subscribe. Thanks.
Thank you. While you're liking, commenting, and subscribing, you can find me on YouTube at Morano Vision, M-O-R-A-N-O Vision. Jim!
My unit in Vietnam, our motto was no back steps. To the people of Israel in their fight, take no back steps. Go forward.
And finally, Lisa.
Hi, I'm praying for Donald Trump, and I hope he's okay.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate your prayers. I'm sure President Trump does as well. All right, that's the lid on things for today. Judge Andrew Napolitano tomorrow. And a few other surprises along with your email. If you want to email me, frank.morano@redappleaudionetworks.com. We'll read them tomorrow. Frank Morano, good day.